Welcome, and thanks for joining us on this, the second podcast for Xbox Insight. Crap. Restart.
What was that sound?
I was going to say, yeah, what was that typing kind of like?
It's like a typing?
It sounded kind of like...
It sounded like a thump to me. Like someone went...
Someone fell?
I don't know. Aaron.
No, not this week.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us on the very first official Xbox Insider podcast. I know a lot of you guys have joined us on the other podcasts, but we're going to hit the ground running on this one and pretty much get you guys all the news and information of what's been going on in the Xbox 360 world. I'm joined here today with Aaron and Jason, Pesmer, and of course, you know, Aaron on the forums as Aaron, gamertag Marth 989. So pretty much what we're going to do here today is give you guys an idea of what's happened this week in Xbox 360 and also let you guys know about a couple things that are coming up here.
All right. Well, I guess that's over to me. In the news this week, not a lot has happened, I'll admit. It's been sort of a slow news week, but, you know, we'll work around that. This week from EA was the release of Battlefield 1943, which is, as most people know, causing problems. What happened here is EA didn't realize how many people would actually be playing the game, and the servers aren't able to cope. So if you are waiting for the game, Major Nelson has let everyone know that they are trying to fix the problem, and hopefully that'll be up and running in the next couple of days, so you'll all be able to play. They're also adding more servers to the clusters, so I know they're adding a local server here in Australia, and they are adding a lot more servers in the UK and the US, which is fantastic. Also this week was the announcement of the second annual Summer of Arcade, which kicks off on July 22nd, with Explosion Man by Twisted Pixel of more fame. Next week after that will be Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled, Trials HD, and then finally finishing up on August 19th with Shadow Complex, which was announced at E3 via Chair Entertainment and Epic Games, which will be very exciting to see. Activision also announced this week that Infinity Ward's Modern Warfare 2 was going to have the Call of Duty name reattached to it, which would be a good marketing move in my eyes, because that would mean, as they're aiming for a launch as big as GTA 4's initial launch, that a lot more people will know exactly what game they're buying and that the brand name will be attached to it. Okay, and on to new releases. This week in the US on 360 was released The Bigs 2, follow-up to the original The Bigs, a baseball game, and also the Bioshock and Elder Scrolls Oblivion bundle, which was also queued for a worldwide release this week. In Australia was Battle Fantasia, a side-scrolling 2D fighter, and in the UK was only the Bioshock and Elder Scrolls bundle. On arcade, we have EA's 1943, which is, as we spoke about, causing server problems, and also Team 17's Worms 2 Armageddon, which is causing a lot of excitement on my side.
So, Worms 2 Armageddon, that's, you're playing that right now, aren't you?
I am.
What else are you playing right now?
Right now I'm also playing a little bit of Saints Row 2 still, just finishing up the co-op side of that, and also I have gone back to, Infinite Undiscovery, which is not a good game at all, but you need to play three playthroughs to get all the achievements, and that's what I'm aiming at. What about you, Aaron?
Well, I was playing Battlefield 1943 after finishing the Magic the Gathering game I was playing from the previous podcast. I played Battlefield 1943 for the first 2 days until midnight of the second day, where my Xbox sadly died. So I think my what I've been playing is more about to do with the E74 message. I'd just like to make a little bit more aware of that. The E74 is still under warranty with a 3-year guarantee. When a little while back, a lot of people thought that the 3-year warranty was completely over, but it actually turned out that it was completely over only for the very first launch consoles. And another thing is, most people don't understand, you don't need a copy of your receipt to have it fixed and returned for free. All you need is the serial number on the back of your Xbox 360 that confirms it's under the 3 years, and you can get it replaced. So, yeah, I was playing Battlefield 1943 until my Xbox 360 died.
Is that your original console?
This is my fifth Xbox 360.
Wow.
Ooh.
So it doesn't really come as much as a surprise to me.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm only on my second.
I'm on my fourth.
You could say I'm a veteran of some sort. I've got the battle scars to prove it.
Did they all have red ring faults?
No, no. There's a few different problems I've had. Two of them went because the driving belt for the disc drive actually snapped.
Huh.
Because they were both pre-owned consoles that had been repaired by Microsoft and returned to companies to sell as pre-owned. But when they replaced the drive belt for the actual disc drive, it's not as good quality as the original ones that are put into the console, and they just go. So that's why a lot of pre-owned consoles do just die after a short time.
Okay. On my side, all three of mine have died due to video freezing problems. I've never had a red ring, and I've never had an E74 fault. Both of mine, I just turned them on, the video froze up. All three of mine, the video froze up every time. What about you, Edward? How many times have you had yours fail?
Just once, although mine has... My very first one, I had an extended warranty from the retailer, just bring it back, no fault. It had the red ring of death actually 3 weeks before the warranty ran out. So I was really lucky on that one. And it was actually 1 week before the price drop, so I was actually able to take it back and get another year of live and, I think, like a game at the same time, because it was like they honored up to purchase value. But my second one, actually, I think my first one, was just having some problems reading discs as well. You know, you put in a game and it says it's just a DVD. So everything's working fine now. It's been like a year.
Yeah, I was lucky with mine because every time they froze, both of my consoles are still under extended warranty. From when I bought them, I had my extended warranty by 2 years on each. And every time they froze, I just took them straight into the retailer and they swapped it for a new one straight over the counter. In fact, in one instance, because I'm such a good customer, they actually gave me a copy of Halo 3 and Gears of War as well, which was awesome, and all the HDMI cables and everything like that, so fantastic.
See, this is where I can say I am actually kind of lucky. Even though this is my fifth Xbox to break, I've only ever bought one Xbox 360, and it was a pre-owned console for £200, British pounds, and it kept breaking. The pre-owned ones kept breaking. And eventually, when I went back the fourth time with the fourth console, they gave me what I've currently got now, which is just broken. But it was a brand new console that they gave me for the price of a pre-owned one with HDMI. And I'd never had an Xbox with HDMI before. So, and that's lasted me over a year now, well over a year.
That's lucky. Yeah, both of mine are new. I got the Elite and the 60 gig as well. So.
Okay, then. Back to the main point. What have you been playing this week, Edward?
This week I have been playing Monsters vs. Aliens.
Achievement.
Yeah, it's for the achievements, but it's also like the last game I want to get for my mail-in rental service. I just had to cancel them. But I've also been playing. I've just been kind of messing around inside of Kingdom for Halflings.
Okay.
I finally decided to buy that game. So I'm just like messing around inside of Kingdom for Halflings. It's kind of really relaxing.
It's fun, but towards the end it does become one hell of a grind.
It does. You're kind of waiting for the resources. You're waiting for everything. You're trying to get them to where you need to have everything. I tried playing with a couple of people on live, and it's a toss-up. Either you get like the really cool people that help you build your city, or you get like the people that just like join your game and kick everything till it breaks. So
I had that. I was collecting the 10 banners in my garden for the achievement, and I had one person that joined me right away, and she stayed with me for the whole time. She kept helping me with everything. She even helped me make a sign that said banners. And then occasionally I'd have someone come in and just start smashing my banners down. So I'd have to exit out and not save the game and then have to join back in again. And you can get some real, I'll say, not nice people on that game. That's choice words, not nice people.
In other words, you can get some real pricks.
Yeah.
That's the same with all arcade games, though. A bunch of people can always spoil it for everyone.
Any game.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, like, people having sexual things on Uno?
Yeah, I've been flashed.
Yeah, because that's a problem.
Yeah.
The what? What happens?
People expose themselves on webcam on Uno.
Ew.
Or they turn the webcam towards a computer that's playing some hardcore porn. So it's kind of like a free show, but not anyone wants to. If you want to, play Uno, you don't want to go and watch porn. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Very distracting. I think they do it to try and win.
So, Aaron, speaking of 1943, I know you said that you were playing that this week. And we all know, let's just delve a little bit deeper into the whole problems that 1943 has been causing this week, especially with the server problems. And I know that you actually got to play the first day, right?
Yeah, on the very first day, I actually got up quite early in the morning because I knew it was going to be coming out around 10 o'clock. And I actually sat on Xbox.com because that gets updated before the Xbox 360 with the dashboard and downloaded it from there. And I think I was one of the first people in the country to get on there because the first game I got into only had 6 people in it. And I was in it and continuously playing. I was fine because I never backed out. I then had friends who came online at the same, just after me, once the servers had filled up, and they kept complaining that they couldn't get in a game. One friend was able to get into a game and had extremely bad lag. So from that point, it was obvious that I was one of the first few that got onto the servers. And then from that point onwards, no one else was actually able to get on them because there was just such a small amount of servers they created for the game. They really underestimated the actual importance of this title, especially the fact that it's an arcade game that is purely online. And it's a back part of the Battlefield franchise, which is one of the largest FPS franchises, in the world. It rivals the Call of Duty franchise, and they've got such a large variety of games that they really shouldn't have underestimated the amount of people that were going to play this game.
Ed, did you have something to say on this?
Well, I think Aaron kind of said it all. I think that's pretty much the thing. They should have been prepared.
Did you want to talk about the disclaimer they put on their website as well, on Xbox.com?
Yeah, I did spot the disclaimer when I first started downloading the game. I thought that looked a little bit iffy. The disclaimer basically says that EA has the ability to retire the game as long as they give a 30-day notice. Now, I'm not 100% sure what retire the game means, but from anyone's standpoint of just reading that, it would look as though that they thought it wasn't going to do as well, that it would be able to last. It wouldn't have the longevity of most games, so that they would actually have to shut the servers down for the game and use them for more important things, such as like Battlefield Bad Company 2 and Army of 2, the 40th day, because obviously EA own the servers.
I'm just interested about the hot tip you gave about Xbox being updated, Xbox.com being updated before Xbox. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the games come on the Xbox.com maybe half an hour to an hour, even an hour and a half before they come on the Xbox 360 dashboard. Because obviously they update the website and the servers, and then they update the Xbox 360 dashboard. Another thing is that if you're waiting for a game to come out on its release date, then you sit there watching the Xbox dashboard. But what most people don't know is the game will not come on there until you turn your Xbox off and then back on. Or sign your profile out and sign it back in, because it's not going to update.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. An Xbox Insider hot tip, one of our bro tips. If you are waiting for a new release game and you want to get it before everyone else, you can get it through Xbox.com about half an hour to an hour before. Or if you are waiting for it on the Xbox dashboard, make sure you turn off and turn on your console to re-update it.
So yeah, just regularly turn it on and off, or sit on the website, and you can buy it straight from the website. Just click sign in your profile, click get the game now, and it will automatically start downloading on your Xbox 360.
Assuming that you've got the serial number of your Xbox logged to your profile on Xbox.com, of course.
No, I don't. I haven't got it logged with my serial number on Xbox.com.
Really? No. Mine wouldn't download unless I put mine in.
Oh, no, it didn't even ask me for mine. But maybe it's a bit weird. Maybe it's because you probably had more Xboxes. Cause,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll chalk that one up to the Room 101 mystery. Well, in the game about itself in general, though, the game is fun. It's very fun. It's got that whole World War II atmosphere to it with the old cars. The jet fighters are also brilliant. The planes. It is really fun to just switch into third person, jump into a plane, start flying around, bombing people, getting in dog fights. Oh, it's hilarious.
How about the classes? What type of classes are there in the game?
Well, unlike most Battlefield games, which usually have five or plus classes, Battlefield 1943 only has three classes. You get a rifleman, which has a long-range rifle, grenade launcher on the actual rifle itself, and grenades. Then you've got the infantry, which uses the small-range, I think it's a Thompson machine gun, so quite close range but fast-paced SMG-style machine gun. With he also has grenades and a rocket launcher, so he's more anti-tank. Then you've got the sniper, whereas the sniper's quite hard to use. You use a bolt-action sniper rifle that actually gets jammed on occasion, so that can make it very hard. And it's usually a two-hit to the body kill with a sniper rifle, one hit to the head and kill. And the sniper also comes with C4 with remote detonation to take out things like tanks, which can be very helpful if you're a sniper because you've not got a lot. But you do, with a sniper, also get a pistol. That's your secondary weapon with a sniper rifle, is the pistol, instead of having grenades. Also, what's quite fun about the three classes is, in the old Battlefield games, all the classes had the same melee weapon. If you were a sniper, you'd have a knife. If you were a demo, you'd have a knife. In 1943, all three of the classes and the two different teams, because there's the Japanese versus the Americans, they all have different style of melee weapons. Both the infantry have wrenches, slightly different ones for each team. Then the riflemen attach a bayonet to the end of the rifle, once again slightly different for each team. And then the main difference is in the sniper. With the American sniper, you get a kind of short sword, very straight-edged sword, almost like a long knife. But my favourite is with the Japanese sniper, where you actually get a samurai sword.
Oh, yes.
You can actually
That's what I'm talking about.
And when you actually kill someone with it, it shows a little picture of the samurai sword next to their name, so you can go around getting some nice little samurai sword kills with that. That's very fun.
Oh,
that sounds like a lot of fun. Actually, I almost want to download it just to crown someone with a wrench.
Yeah, the wrench, it did feel very BioShock when I pulled the wrench out the very first time. Even though it's not red, it's small and silver, but it did feel very BioShock. You just go around whacking people with a wrench, knock on the head. Like with Battlefield games, a melee kill is an instant kill.
Yeah, that's how it should be. Do you get to steal their dog tags like in some of the other Battlefield games, or...?
With the old Battlefield games, yeah, you got the dog tags and you got medals and patches. With 1943, there isn't actually dog tags, but they have kept the medals and patches, which does actually add something, because once you got all the achievements, you've still got something that you can aim for.
Yeah, those sort of things are good to add to the longevity of a game, because people have always that sort of thing to aim for. Although I will admit, with Battlefield Bad Company, which I've barely played online, some of those medals are pretty damn hard to get.
There are some hard ones actually in 1943, and this might come as quite a surprise to you. Even though it's an arcade game, because there's wild cards, which are postcards in the game, and there's stamps, which are just your general badges for like getting four kills with a certain class. One of the wild cards is for 10,000 kills, which is expecting a little bit too much. I know it's an arcade game, I know it's Battlefield, but it is a little too much asking people to get 10,000 kills in on three maps with only three classes. I play Battlefield Bad Company, and there's an achievement for 10,002 kills, and I still don't have that.
Beans, bullets, and bandages.
Yeah, and that's quite hard to get. In Battlefield 1943, you get even less kills than you do on Battlefield Bad Company per game, because it's territories-based opposed to just conquest. So it's more trying to capture bases opposed to killing people. But yeah, so you get, I've so far got the patch that allows you to get, which is get 20 or more kills in one game. I've only been able to do that once, so 20 kills in one game. The rest of my games, I usually get around 12 to 15 kills. So
what about the length of the rounds? How long do the rounds normally take?
The one round will probably take you about 20, 25 minutes. You both teams get the bars at the top, which is their resources for their team. Once they're, if someone dies on their team, their resources goes down a small amount. And the team that hold the dominant number of bases have the enemy's resources go down faster than theirs. So long as your team owns a base, your enemy resources will go down. But it's a bit harder if your opponents have three.
Okay. All right, now we should probably move on from Battlefield 1943. What's happening in next week releases, Ed?
All right, next week, they're still, I know we're in the summer, and I would expect a lot of games to be released around this time.
Speak for yourself. We're not all in summer.
Oh, I forgot all about that. You're, what, winter now, aren't you?
That's right, it's freezing.
He's in 12 degrees. That's right. That's hot enough for England to go to the beach.
12 degrees Celsius. It's very, very cold here at the moment. I'm all snugged up with a blanket here on me, and...
Oh, well, that's no good then. But I would expect more games coming around this time. And also, the other time, I guess, would be our winter, which would be, of course, your summertime. But coming in next week, I'm going to deal with the main releases for the consoles, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the Xbox Live Arcade releases coming in next week. But in the United States, we only have one game that's coming out next week, and that's NCAA Football 10 coming in from EA Sports. I heard there are a couple of good new features. They're added some co-op online, so we'll see how that ranks out. In the UK next week, on the 17th, which I believe is going to be... you guys get game releases on Friday there, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's Friday. It's Monday for movies and Friday for games.
Ah, different.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, here in the US we have Monday for movies... Tuesday for games.
See, here in Australia, we have Thursday for games, Thursday for movies. It's a big day. Thursday is also the day that all the pensioners get their paychecks, so everyone goes to the shops on a Thursday, and that's why they have late night shopping.
Oh, but it's very busy.
It is.
There in the UK, next Friday, you guys will be getting the release Hail to the Chimp, which is, it's more of a kids game, but it's a collection of mini games, a party game. And also the Bigs 2, you guys will be receiving that one. And for you, Jason, down there in Australia, next week's release is Ashes Cricket 2009.
Yeah, which is meant to be a big one.
Everyone's going to buy it?
If you're a big cricket fan, I'd say this is probably the way to go. But I'm actually a bit surprised that it's getting released in Australia, but not the UK, as Australia and the UK generally have a pretty fierce rivalry when it comes to the Ashes.
Hmm. They deserve to be on British soil.
Says you.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if it comes out here, I say we both hire it and we both play against each other, and you'll find out that the Ashes really belong in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you get the game. It's for that practice you need. It's to teach your players the simple rules of the game.
Oh, that's aggressive.
Wow, that's getting kind of hot there.
Like I said, it's a very fierce rivalry.
And next week in Xbox Live Arcade releases, we have two games. The first one is Madballs in Babu, which appears to be... You can have many different players there. You can play with your avatar as well. And it appears to be a shooter game. Top-down shooter, multiple people. being able to play that game. I'd really like to see if I can give the trial on that one next week to find out what it's really about. And the major big Xbox Live Arcade release next week is going to be LucasArts, The Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition.
Yes.
Which is going to be a very good release. I've been looking forward to it. Haven't played it in a while. So I'm really looking forward to actually buying that one and playing it next week.
But I've never actually played one of the Monkey Island games. So
that's ridiculous.
I really don't have an idea what they're about.
Monkey Island games are they're LucasArts adventure games. So it's yeah. Probably I would say the Monkey Island series is probably the most popular of LucasArts adventure games. I know there were the Grim Fandango.
Yep. And also the Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis was also really popular. Oh, and Sam and Max.
Oh, yeah.
Sam and Max is right. Everyone knows Sam and Max. But gamers, console gamers from way back when will also remember Maniac Mansion.
Yes. And Day of the Tentacle.
Day of the Tentacle, which was hard.
That was hard.
You guys are talking a completely different language.
But, Maniac Mansion.
I think I might be a little bit too young for the games you're talking about. Put your Commodores away, Grandad.
Hey, I played Monkey Island on Amiga 500, not the Commodore, right?
Ooh.
Amiga 500 was a beautiful machine. I think it came on 4 floppy disks.
All right, and that is all of the releases next week. Not a lot to look forward in terms of main releases, but like I said, if you are an adventure game point-and-click fan, definitely look forward to that Monkey Island Special Edition. So with the lack of games coming out next week, we have to remember that the week following is when the second annual Summer of Arcade is going to start on Xbox Live. And they have a great lineup there for the different weeks. And these games are going to be games, these 5 weeks are going to be all filled with games that are just going to be really, really great, complex. And I'm looking forward to them all.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to the first game, which comes out on July the 22nd, Explosion Man. This is one of those really new kind of quirky. It feels almost like the old style of game, where a game doesn't have to mean anything. It doesn't have to be a shooter where you go into a war. It doesn't have to be some kind of fantasy adventure where you got to save the universe. No, in this one, you're a crazy scientist experiment gone wrong that likes to run around and blow yourself up to progress through the levels. Also, you get to see his butt a lot, which is quite funny. It's very British humour. It's made by Twisted Pixel as well, who made the great game The Maw, another game which is completely off the hook, kind of crazy and wacky, but at the same time brilliant because of it.
I'm looking forward to Explosion Man. It looks absolutely amazing, and it's going to have 100 levels for only 800 points. It's going to have 50 single-player levels and 50 multiplayer levels. I'm really hoping and actually wishing it. The multiplayer over Xbox Live.
Oh, I didn't even know it had multiplayer. That could actually make the game even better for me.
I was unaware of the multiplayer as well.
It wasn't really something you got from the videos that I've seen of it, but it's definitely a welcome addition.
On July 29th, we're going to have Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and it looks like that one's coming out from Backbone Entertainment and, of course, Capcom. And it's going to have, of course, 56 characters, so it's going to be a lot of different Marvel characters and also characters from Capcom. I am a little bit on the fence about this game because I'm not great at fighting games, I know, but Marvel vs. Capcom has always been a game that I play anyway because, with your different superheroes or super fighters, I always seem to at least do some kind of weird button, press combo that does some kind of weird, Storm throwing Wolverine or something like that. So I'll definitely try out the demo, but I'm not that big of a fighter fan.
Nah, not really here either. I like the idea of crossing multiple platforms like Marvel and Capcom because you really do get to see the scenario you talk about when you're a little kid, who would win in a race, Flash Gordon or Superman? Where you can find out, who will win in a fight against, Ryu or Wolverine. So I'm not really into fighter games, but I do like them when they cross the platforms like that. It adds something to the game, definitely.
The price is pretty expensive for this one, though. Actually, I suppose it's not too bad. It's coming in at like 1,200 Microsoft points, which it's higher than a lot of arcade games, but I suppose maybe they need to cover the licenses as well for those games. So maybe it's not too bad, but it's probably a little high for me to pick up.
No, yeah, it's got an Xbox Live multiplayer as well. So if you think about it, like Battlefield just came out. That's just an online multiplayer. I think this will have an arcade mode. I know it's only 2D, but if you think about it, if you're a really big fighting game fan, then 1,200 Microsoft points probably isn't a bad price for a game you're going to play online a lot.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And with the next game on August the 5th, it's kind of a return to the retro with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled. This is another one for 1,200 Microsoft points, but then again, it's from Ubisoft. So we're looking at a good developer, so we might get a good game.
Because I remember playing Turtles in Time a lot when it was on the, was that 64 or Super Nintendo? I can't remember it. At least Super Nintendo. And if you look at the sales charts, the original arcade game of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is always somewhere, generally on that chart of top 10 arcade downloads. So obviously a lot of people like playing that game and probably pick up this one as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't actually played any of the side-scrolling Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games. I think I played the original way back in 1989 or something, but I haven't played any since then.
Oh, so no, this will be... was the year I was born.
Ouch. I was six in 1989.
Yeah. Don't out to there. I was like eight.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm old.
You are tired. Old.
Tired. Maybe then... take a nap after this.
And have someone change your diaper.
Rotate me so I don't get bed sores.
And, the week after that is on August the 12th is coming Trials HD, also for 1,200 Microsoft points. This is by Red Lynx and Microsoft. This one's actually pretty interesting. I saw some videos of it at E3. It's sort of a 2/3D motorbike game where you pretty much just drive around, do stunts, and go through a bit of a track collecting, well, I don't know. But
it does come with a level editor, which looks like a good idea. Especially when you can upload the levels, put them online, and download your mate's levels. But I've not actually seen any information or not whether it says it's got an online multiplayer yet or not. So maybe 1,200 points is a little much for this game, depending on whether it's got the online multiplayer. And definitely on August the 19th, the last week of the Summer of Arcades annual number 2 has to be the biggest title coming out on arcade for a while, and that's going to be Shadow Complex, made by Epic Games. This really does look the top of the charts. This is using Unreal 3 engine with a side scroller kind of platforming game, but the graphics look brilliant, the gameplay looks brilliant, the immersity for a side scroller looks brilliant. It looks like a game you can really get into and have a lot of fun with. Have you guys seen the videos for it from E3?
Yeah, I had a look at the videos from E3, and I'm actually really, really excited for this game. Even for a arcade game, getting 10 hours out of a single player game is a lot of fun. It's not a bad buy for this one, and it, like you said, it does look fantastic. The gameplay looks amazing. It looks like it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for Shadow Complex.
Yeah, one thing that they did say from E3 that's really got me kind of hooked in it is the concept of it's one big base. You can explore the base, and as you progress further, you can actually go back to sections and get to places you were never able to previously get to. So there's loads of hidden secrets within the game that it's really going to be that kind of old school where they hide nice, funny little bits in there, like with the old Doom games where there's little bits that most people never got to see. And like Marathon from Bungie, where there was all like the terminal rooms. So kind of like nice little hidden bits that really make you you play the game over and over again, so you can really see everything that there is to see.
Now, I know this is going to be a great game, and I am looking forward to it. As that one wraps up the Summer of Arcade, I'm not sure, but, and I know there's been no official word on this, but originally this one should have been the one that we'd be getting very first on the on July 22nd, and ending the Summer of Arcade with Splosion Man. However, after they announced it, Microsoft went back and switched the release dates of these two games. I don't know what that means or why. It's a mystery to me.
I think it's because they just because they expected Shadow Complex to be bigger, so they wanted to end it with a bang rather than starting on a high and then going down lower. They wanted to sort of start decently with Splosion Man, which is going to be a great game, and finish it with, you know, Shadow Complex, which is going to be absolutely massive.
Well, the word for it has to be, well, epic. Made by Epic Games, and the game looks epic.
It does.
So that ends the Summer of Arcade, but also this summer, everyone knows the big deal that's been going around on Xbox Live is the 1 versus 100 beta. Now, this beta is surprisingly still going on. It's been incredibly long for a beta period, and I never expected it to last this long. As you guys have known, the 1 versus 100 beta started in Canada, and they had it for, I think, 2 weeks, and then moved to the United States, and we've had it for, well, gee, it's been a couple of weeks now. It keeps going. The live shows are being amazing. More people are joining. There is trivia and extended play every night, at least four, sometimes five or six different games. And then it appears this last Friday, people in Europe have gotten access to the beta as well as a new promotion in the United States where the prizes are actually real now. So starting with the show on Friday the 10th, you can actually win actual prizes. So the one, the 100, and the first three, the top three in the actual crowd can win actual prizes from Microsoft. So the prizing has started. Aaron, so you have gained access to the beta, and you actually got to play it, right?
Yeah, I played about five or six games, but all the time I was actually just in the crowd. It was okay. There's something I did notice about it was, though, I joined the party with a friend, and then halfway through the game, it automatically muted everyone else in my party, and I was muted for them, and I was unable to regain contact with them any other way through other than joining into a party chat. Now, I don't know if this was something that went wrong or they did it on purpose, perhaps to prevent people from trading answers, but it was certainly weird that just halfway through they cut off my audio and that my friends could no longer hear me. Another thing I was going to say to you, Ed, was the live presenter. When I was playing, even though it said cutting to the live presenter and he had the avatar and his mouth was moving, I didn't actually hear anyone speak whatsoever. Are you actually getting a live presenter or not?
Yeah. You should be able to get Chris Cashman, who is the host. I've noticed the whole thing with the beta has been rather buggy because sometimes he misses cues and he's like late. I don't know what he's doing. Sometimes I can't hear, but my friends can. So I think that's just another kink that they're trying to work out because one time he on the live show, sometimes he has call-in guests with bands and he does interviews. I actually, at one point, was unable to hear the entire interview with my people in my party were actually hearing and commenting on it. So it could have been one of the two because I have seen him and I actually heard him completely miss his cues before. So I think that's just something they're trying to work out.
Yeah, that's quite weird, that is. I know it's available here, but what about the beta? Is it available in Australia yet, Jason?
I had a look for it, and I couldn't find it. So I'd assume that even though everywhere else in the world has got it, again, Australia got the shaft, and we haven't seen it yet. But honestly, I want to give this a try. I really am interested in it, but so far we haven't got anything, so just a normal thing of sit back and wait and see if we get it one day. You know, maybe in the next 20, 30 years.
I've got a question for Ed. as you being a bit of a, well, an achievement whore, what is your opinion on the rolling achievements that it kind of has, where there's more achievements added every season so far? That's what they've said, that with spring, summer, autumn and winter, they're actually going to be bringing new achievements to the game.
I think this is, I know they have a rule on how many achievement points the game can have, but of course, with what they've said, you know, in terms of involving the achievement points, I guess this is going to break a rule, or maybe there's a different rule for Xbox Live primetime games, both this one and the ones in the future. I've just been very curious about that, but it's obviously a way to keep people playing, as you're going to need to keep people playing in order to keep the game rolling, keep advertisers interested. I think it's a good idea. The prizes may not be enough, you know, and I'm sure people will come for the achievements to try to win the achievements. It adds an extra, I guess, layer of competitiveness to the game, because you were in the crowd, and I know I've played in the crowd a lot. I was in the mob one time since the beta's happened, but I've been in the crowd, and it gets boring there. It gets really, really boring in the crowd, and oftentimes I just give up and stop playing for the night. So I think the achievement points will help to keep people playing and keep people reaching for something, even though they're not in the mob or the one fighting for an actual prize.
I kind of get that, but there's also the problem with, I've seen a screenshot, whereas an avatar was cheering on stage like they'd won the game, the one had beat the 100 in the mob, and the achievement popped up saying, you taught the mob about life and the way it is. So now, the way I'm seeing that is, that means you have to be the one, and you have to beat the mob and the 100. What is the likeliness of you getting that achievement? What is the likeliness of you being the one to start with, let alone you actually winning the program? So some of these achievements seem like they're going to be extremely stupidly hard to get hold of.
Yeah, I really agree with you. Kotaku released a supposed achievement list. I don't know how they got it. I guess early on in the Canadian beta, you could actually access that. Everyone knows right now, if you go to the achievement list in the beta currently, it's completely blank. But apparently, they had a list of the achievements. Most of them were able to be, you know, obtained, except for, of course, that one. And I think there was one for being in the mob. Playing in the beta, the live shows get upwards of, I think I one time saw a live show that had 100,000 people in it. And, you know, of course, during the course of the live show, which lasts for 2 hours, or is it three? I believe it's two or three. Anyway, they go through it one every 15 minutes. So really, they only serve four ones an hour. They're not doing as much of a turnover as I really would like for them to do. What I really think they need to do is, and I know they probably won't because they have one live host, but I think they need to split them up into different rooms, have a max. Mm-hmm. You know, 20,000 people in every room.
Mm-hmm. Even with, say, 20,000 people in one room, what's the likeliness that you're going to be one of the six people a night picked out of 20,000 people?
I don't know, probably like six in 20,000.
Sounds like that's a sort of a number, doesn't it? Well, it beats the lottery, but it's still not good.
Yeah, but the lottery, you know, you get more of a prize for winning the lottery.
Mm-hmm. And even if you are one of the six in 20,000, you still haven't got a guarantee to win, have you?
It's just confusing. I think they really need to, because without actually getting people in the mob or getting people in the one consistently, interest is going to fall away very quickly. Well, it looks like that wraps up the show. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. Check out everything. Join us on Twitter, twitter.com/XboxInsider. Join us on the site, xboxinsider.net, and join the forum. I'm sure we'll have communication and a lot of discussion about this podcast and other issues. Aaron, Jason, thanks for joining us. I'm Edward, and we'll see you guys soon.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us on the first official Xbox Insider podcast. I know you guys may have listened to our first podcast, but this is where we're really going to hit everything running. And on this podcast, we're just going to want to... Shit. Can I start one more time?
Sure, just keep, but we don't really want to shit.
Yeah, we're not trying to shit.
No, not right now.